Stage number 14143.
Mr. Langford, reel three.
This was probably the first occasion that a lower deck rating had taken a midday tot with three naval officers all together. This just shows you how class had just disappeared by this time. We were all on one level, and I think they were very grateful for their tots. And so it was that we were dropped off on the beach off the LST. I remember jumping in waist high with my Smith Wesson revolver held high in case I should get it wet, not that I had any chance of firing it in anger. And I'm not sure when I got on the beach whether I was wet from fear and sweat or wet from having jumped waist high into the water. And from then on it was marching into Courcelles.
Were you conscious of any bullets flying as you landed on Juno Beach?
Not as I landed. It wasn't until later on that day when we were on the beach. We were strafed by a German aircraft. I remember we'd signal and Ginger had found this gun emplacement next to where we set up our site, and he'd got some live ammo, and we were able to fire back at this Jerry and give him the shock of his life. I fancy I think the worst was later on that evening, as it was getting dusk. We'd Ginger and I had managed to boil up a bucket of water, and we were one either side of it, just about to start our ablutions for the night, when we swore that a sniper's bullet passed between the two of us. I said that was whoosh. And he said, yes, it was. The next second, we dived into the slit trench that we had on the beach. And he was in first, because I remember my face hitting the heels of his shoes, boots, as he went in. So we didn't wash that night. But we probably did the next night, because we never heard any more of the sniper. So I guess the army had taken care of him somewhere along the line.
So how did the work for Party Funshaw go?
How did the work go? Well, we were, as I say, we did the combined operation training. It became obvious to us that Party Funshaw was not going to be so much fun, and that it was obviously getting prepared for the invasion of the continent. At this stage, we hadn't got a clue whereabouts it would be, and we didn't. We didn't have a clue on the lower deck, even up to D-Day itself, where it was. It wasn't until we arrived off the shore that I was able to talk to these three officers, bomb disposal officers, who knew exactly where we were going and what it was called and so forth, and where it was that, and this was the first that I knew of whereabouts we were going to land.
So you were supposed to set up the signal stations at Courcelles,
yeah,
and then guide ships in?
And then guide. They were barges, actually. They looked very much like the barges that used to go up and down the River Thames, but they were motorised barges. And the Thames barges that I remember were just pulled along half a dozen at a time by tugs. But these were very similar looking barges, and they were motorised and came up under their own steam. And that first night, we were to signal them in by using a light. And of course, the only light we had was this Aldis lamp. And even though we draped the signal flags over it and various things, it still took a beam out to sea that was going to invite anybody to to attack us, and we were once again we were dive bombed, but he never came back for a second attack, and so the these barges were brought in, and it was a constant procession of these barges. In fact, we hadn't been ashore long, and they started getting storms up and down the coast, and just for a period, I think Courcelles was the only place that could get any provisions ashore. So we thought this, because it was quite a wide basin inland at the end of the river came to this wide basin. There was a pontoon bridge across which could be closed, and the ships could be unloaded in the town itself.
So the work went successfully?
Very successful, yes. I don't think there was any hitch, any hold-ups. For several weeks, this came went on, and became almost a 9-to-5 job, because the barges, of course, were coming in daylight most of the time by now. The worst that happened was that after a few weeks, we started being shelled, apparently from Le Havre, and this was most unpleasant, because you can't do much about shellfire on land. You've just got to sit there and take it. We did try timing it, and we discovered that it took 2 minutes for them to load and refire, so that after a minute and a half we would try and take cover in slip trench or something, and then little later than that, we were out doing our work, and we got another minute yet, and wallop, all of a sudden he sent a shell. He'd managed to do it in half a minute, and so he was this was his psychology. He knew that Jerry knew that there was nothing worse than not knowing when the next shell was going to come. And so it would be half a minute and a half, two almost together, so to speak. And this was very wearing, particularly as by now we'd got headquarters in the middle of town. And unbeknownst to some of us, the cellars were full of high explosives. And we used to wonder why a lot of people, obviously those in the know, when the shelling started, used to dash out of the building and go down the road where there were some slit trenches.
You've written on the form that your unit at this time was NUTO2.
NUTO2, that was the original unit. Eventually, as I say, when it became a 9-to-2 job and things were moving, Khan. We saw the planes go over Caen. Caen fell eventually, and our job was finished on the beach. So put it to the lads, what do you want to do? You can either go back to Chatham and get another draft, or we can apply to join up with Captain Maud. Captain Maud was the beach master on D-Day. And he had a naval party, 1731 or 2.
1732,
yes. And he was going to set up more port parties at Rotterdam and The Hague. And this sounded good to the lads, so we agreed that we'd try and join his party, which we were allowed to do. So we then followed quickly on to the assault troops through Amiens and Rouen, Lille, all the way across France through the French First World War. We saw the graveyards as we went through, looking immaculate still. Into Belgium at we got held up in Belgium. We couldn't go any further because the Germans still had Holland pretty well under control. We took over some barracks in place called Alost in Belgium, about 10 miles from Brussels. Of course, eventually that year, we had the Ardennes bulge, which threatened to come back towards Brussels, but so we were still stuck for a little bit longer. Then came Arnhem, it was shortly after Arnhem was cleared, although that was a bit of a debacle. It was soon cleared, and within a couple of weeks, the whole place was cleared, and we carried on then into Holland, across the bridge at Arnhem, and through Arnhem, and our particular section went on into The Hague. And I stayed in The Hague, in barracks, which the Germans had rather hurriedly got out of. And we stayed in those barracks then until VE Day. It was after VE Day that I then came back to Chatham and was looking for the next draft. My next draft, of course, was a landing ship dock, LSD, it was called HMS Ocean Way, and this was a ship that had a floodgate at the back and could open up and then shut again and take in smaller craft inside.
Right, now we've come beyond the end of the war.
Now the war is now ending, yes. Yes, the war had finished by the time we set sail.
Was Naval Party 1732 a signal station like Neuter 2?
No. This was actually a port party. What its actual there was no signals done there. The only signalling that was done there was by telephone. So it was a naval administrative centre at by now.
Why was Naval Party Neuter 2 called Neuter?
I think we did know this at the time. And Neuter 2, the TO was for NU stood for nucleus. Nucleus number 2. And then it had the 2 added on to it. But that's how it got its name. There was Neuter 1, Neuter 2. Neuter 1 was at Sword Beach at Ouistreham. We were Neuter 2, Juno Beach, and Neuter 3 was at Arromanches.
Gold Beach.
But the Gold Beach, yes. But the actual, why they settled on Neuter, why they settled on Funshaw, I don't know. Neuter was definitely the NU stood for nucleus, and I always thought the 2 was Chew.
Was Party Funshaw the same as Naval Party Neuter 2?
I don't know. Yes, it must have been. When it's... the draft chit that I got at Chatham was to Party Funshaw. I never heard the word mentioned again. And then we didn't become Neuto 2 until we'd done all our training and were being briefed. And we weren't being briefed until middle of May, something like that. Towards the end of May.
Whilst you were in Normandy, did you have any contact with French civilians?
Very, very little. I don't remember any in Normandy at all. As we passed through, as later on when we passed through Amiens and Rouen and Lille, yes, we met quite a number when we got to Lille, we were allowed shore leave that night, which was something that we hadn't had for a long time. And yes, it was going into cafes and places like that and mixing and talking with people, but not a lot of mixing, in fact.
What was the not attitude of French people towards these British services?
There was never the occasion to find this out from the lower deck point of view. We saw very, very few French people. when we was in Courcelles, I don't remember. I can't remember an occasion when I... Oh, yes, I did. Yes, there was next to us at Courcelles on the beach, right next door was an oyster farm. And we made friends with the Frenchman in charge of the oyster farm. He was quite a jovial type, and for cigarette oyster kind of monetary system, we did very well. We could get our jumper full of oysters for a packet of cigarettes, and that's what we did, of course, because. At that stage, we still only had our 24-hour ration packs, so it made a good addition to our food stocks.
Did you ever feel that you might be pushed off the beaches?
No. Surprisingly, at that time, no. We never thought for a minute that we were in any danger of that, although I've since read books and information that suggests that there was one or two close shaves, that they did make a counter thrust, a very strong Panzer Division counter thrust, which would have come through to Juneau Beach had it been successful. But I imagine that it was well and truly stopped before it got underway.